RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Time for our Wilms Report from Tim Wilms from the Unshackled.net in Melbourne, the lucky continent. Tim, I hope you're well. Nice to have you back.
I am well, and we're getting an early spring here in Melbourne, finally. The sun is out. I've been sweating outside a bit, so I'm loving it. But, of course, the sun is bad these days because...
Yep. Well, actually, the vitamin D is great, but for the first time in weeks, you're not whinging about the weather.
No, it's refreshing.
Okay, let's start on the Olympics. How are the Aussies doing medal-wise?
We are doing fantastic. It's been the best medal haul in the pool, the swimming.
Okay, yeah.
Despite there being a COVID outbreak, despite all of our swimmers arriving in Paris before the Olympics wearing masks, but there has still been gold medals.
What, medals for swimmers with COVID? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, correct. So Zach Stubbley-Cook, he won a silver medal in the 200-meter breaststroke despite being COVID positive. He didn't know he was COVID until after he won the medal.
That doesn't count. That doesn't count. Unless you've got symptoms, it doesn't count, in my view, anyway.
So the medal haul, despite participants having COVID, just shows how they should have just dumped this whole COVID theatre COVID protocols. Yeah. We had one of our female swimmers, Lenny Pallister, withdraw from the 1500-meter freestyle because she was COVID positive, but was part of the winning gold medal team in the women's 4x200-meter freestyle.
Okay.
And she said that she hated the isolation, but she wanted to do it. She didn't want to infect her teammates. But,
oh, God, where have these people been?
I know. This is the environment that's being created by our Australian Olympic Committee. And we also had Seiya Sakibara, who won gold in the BMX, who had COVID earlier in the week, and her brother had a career-ending brain injury from BMX a year ago. So extra special for her. But if she'd been told she couldn't go for gold because of COVID, that would have been just...
Again, are these people who tested positive but were asymptomatic?
Well, it hasn't affected their performance. This is the thing.
So they must be asymptomatic, because if you've got the flu or something... I mean, I tried to go for a run once when I had the flu. I tell you, I'm never going to do that again.
I'm sure that the remaining COVID crazies will say, oh, they might be fine now, but they'll probably get debilitating long COVID, or they could have given it to other people and they've got long COVID.
Okay, then. Well, you know, it's good to hear that the medal haul is going well. That'll make everybody feel good.
Obviously, in the Olympic Village, they've got the green policies trying to limit the athletes' protein. Though I think one of our Olympians, Australian beach volleyballer Zachary Sherbert, he would be fine because he said in an interview that he munches on crickets. So
easy bugs.
Yes, and so he'll be a role model for the World Economic Forum crowd. See, it's good enough for our elite Olympians.
I wonder how much he was paid to say that.
I don't know, but we've previously had Nicole Kidman also eat bugs, film a video of her having a three-course meal of bugs. They're getting the Australians on board.
Sorry, what was the name of that gentleman? Zachary Sherbert.
Schubert.
I thought he might have been named after that old Aussie rock band.
Oh, no, it's not spelt like
that. How's that? All right, let's move on. What's this investigation into clean indoor research? What's all that about?
Yes, so despite the Victorian state Labor government basically being broke, in fact, the Liberal opposition, John Pesciuto, are actually tied in the polls now. The Victorian government, they've still found $10 million to give to the Burnett Institute, which they paid for all of this doomsday COVID modelling during the COVID lockdowns. So their executive director, Professor Brent.
Got to be a professor. Got to be a professor. Yeah, yeah.
Who is a COVID zero advocate. He's he's part of the, what is that, offstage group of COVID zero extremists. So it was good for their bottom line, COVID, because they got paid by the Victorian government to produce this modelling. They said, well, if you just comply with the lockdowns and masks, then this modelling won't come true. And they,
well, that worked out well, didn't it?
And they also did a study that said that outdoor mask mandates worked. It was based on photographs in the Age newspaper of people wearing masks outside.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, so they've been given another $10 million to investigate the benefits of clean indoor air, which the ABC's, I call her their COVID bedwetting reporter, Hayley Gleason, said that this clean indoor air could end this pandemic. Apparently we're still in a pandemic, and prevent
the next one.
So this is not actually doing anything to like clean indoor air. It's just like a study. So it's just a basic
rule. It's a scam. I call it a scam. Yeah, yeah.
There was $100 million spent on air purifiers in Victorian classrooms in 2022, which supposedly they're going to study their efficiency. We haven't seen the study, but it was good for Samsung's bottom line, $100 million spent on their air purifiers.
Oh, man, people have been making megabucks out of the scam.
Exactly. Follow the money.
Yeah, always. Mm. Last week it was monkeypox, and I wonder what happened to those people. This week it's what?
I haven't got an update on the monkeypox outbreak, but this week it's a Legionnaires' disease outbreak, which, just to give you a crash course to your audience, it is a bacteria that can be found in water cooling towers, and it's breathed in water droplets. It's not contagious person to person.
I think it can appear in topsoil as well.
I believe so as well. So it has led to a cluster of 86 cases and two deaths, a woman in her 90s and a man in his 60s. Though Victoria's Chief Health Officer Claire Looker has found the source of an outbreak, a tower in Laverton North, which is in Melbourne's inner west. It only took them a couple of weeks. So this is the biggest Legionnaires' disease outbreak in 25 years since the Melbourne Aquarium in 2000. So, it took them a while to use that term, contact trace. It seems they haven't got much better since the COVID days, if it took them a couple of weeks to find out how people were getting sick.
Okay, well, it's sad to hear, you know, about how it affected the people, but 8 days to find it.
So almost 2 weeks.
Almost 2 weeks, okay. And the water tower, did it supply water to houses or something like that? Is that how that works?
The water towers, they're mainly used in like factories and large indoor spaces.
It's usually for aircon, isn't it?
Yeah, aircon and for heating as well.
Right. Back to sport. They always end up eating themselves, don't they?
Yes, I spoke to you last week about the Collingwood Football Club's woke captain, Darcy Moore. Now, despite Collingwood being, one of the wokest football clubs in the AFL, its CEO, Craig Kelly, has been accused of racism by its former head of First Nations strategy, Mark Cleaver, who, in a compensation lawsuit, is seeking compensation for hurt, humiliation, distress, and economic loss. He identifies as gay and non-binary, and he's also accused Craig Kelly of assault for squeezing his hand too hard during a handshake and a too hard slap on the shoulder. And one of the things that he's alleged to have said is that they need to get a Aboriginal cultural room launched, and he was using crass language such as, I don't care what you put in there, even a effing alive possum there, just get it in there and get the Indigenous vice president off my ass. So he was more just being, you know, gruff.
Oh, so that was the big, is that what you know, made him so wounded, just that.
It seems the Collingwood president, Jeff Brown, is standing by him, and they had an internal investigation which cleared Craig Kelly. And also the AFL said this is a workplace issue. Now, the reason that he was hired in the first place, this Indigenous strategic head, was because of a previous Collingwood racism report, the Do Better report in 2021, because a former player, Harry Lumumba, who used to be known as Harry O'Brien before he changed his name, accused the club of racism. And that led to the resignation of the former president, Eddie Maguire. And
we know of him over here. Yeah.
And if you they hired these racism consultants, experts to investigate racism. Of course, they're going to find racism. If you tell a racism consultant, can you find some racism? Of course, they're going to find.
Yeah, it's like a racism PCR test. So Craig Kelly is not the other Craig Kelly who was.
No. He's a former Collingwood footballer.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
The same name. And still ongoing is the Hawthorn racism saga, as it's called. So four ex-Hawthorn Indigenous players accused the club's former premiership host, Alistair Clarkson, and his assistant, Chris Fagan, who's now the coach of the Brisbane Lions, of mistreatment. The lead in that was Cyril Rioli, a former Collingwood premiership player, and it seemed to trigger because his wife was upset at a lame joke that former club president Jeff Kennett and former Victorian Premier said that gave her some loose change to fix her ripped designer jeans, and she thought this was racism.
Oh, God. These people are snowflakes and opportunistic too, because it's all about the money again, isn't it?
Well, it's also ideology as well, but these things wouldn't happen because the way they've come about is just eventually these higher-ups, they've just cracked it at these grievance people and said, look, enough, we've had enough of your grievance, but it's too late. They've created the beast.
Yeah. When I started, I said they end up eating themselves, and that's what happens. All right. And what about this social inclusion clause? Does that apply to media somehow?
Yes, in the next broadcaster contract, Channel 7 and Fox Footy, there's a social inclusion clause. So commentary teams can't be made up of all white males, even though that's most of the expert commentators who make up the commentary teams. Yep. So they've got to have some female commentators or expert commentators, and obviously some minority ones as well. And the networks, they have had no issue with this. They say, well, great, put it in there.
Okay. All right. Business is not looking too good. I know Rex Aviation, because I'm an airline following guy, has, I think, gone into administration. Bonds is gone. And has the share market taken a dive?
$100 billion wiped off yesterday. So it's a global meltdown, which does make it less likely that there will be an interest rate rise by the Reserve Bank when it meets at 2:30 p.m. Australian time today, because there was a probability they could increase rates because our inflation quarterly results have gone up to 3.8%. The main drivers are housing, food, and also cigarettes and alcohol.
The necessities of life, in other words.
Yeah, it hasn't helped with the government indexation of the alcohol and petrol excise. They think we don't notice these things.
You get black markets developing from that as well.
Oh, yeah, we've got firebombing of illegal tobacco shops, and we've got the tobacco and the vape police here. That's a whole other story.
Is there a sense the economic situation is actually worse than people think then?
Definitely, we are getting poorer as a nation per capita. That has been present for quite a while, and it's being propped up by mass immigration, the Ponzi scheme, as it is known. And obviously with the CFMEU scandal, which particularly the big build in Victoria, that's inflated the cost of of infrastructure. In fact, there was an assault of a Brisbane construction worker who crossed a CFMEU picket line. He was attacked outside his home, but he was a champion boxer, so he was able to fend them off.
Picked on the wrong guy.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the new immigration minister, Tony Burke, he is going to allow more Palestinian refugees to permanently settle here, which is the last thing that we need when social cohesion is extremely low at the moment. We had ASIO, our intelligence agency, raise the threat level from possible to probable, which is, I mean, it's there was a performative press conference this morning with the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, and the ASIO head, Mike Burgess, who said that the threats are from, he said, more twisted ideology. There's more diverse extremism about. I'm actually quoting.
Diverse extremism. Okay. Well, at least the diversity and inclusion is manifesting itself in terrorism now.
Well, they said that they have no intelligence that there's an imminent attack, but they're going to raise the threat levels. So
Does that mean that they can spy on people and do things and take advantage of
them? Well, Anthony Albanese said, we need to reduce the temperature, which is basically stops being so critical of me. And also he said to the media, you pipe down. Also, he mentioned the pro-Palestine protesters outside his office and his MP's offices. We had this week, it only broke this week. It happened earlier this year, and Officeworks in Elston Wick, Melbourne, a heavy Jewish area, a Jewish man was refused lamination of an article in the Australian Jewish News.
Oh dear.
Because the person, I don't know what they identify, they had a rainbow lanyard, said, I'm pro-Palestine, I'm going to refuse the service. And so Officeworks gave him a $100 voucher in compensation. They didn't fire the employee. They sent to
retraining
and also visiting a Holocaust museum. And they said there was no malice involved. It was a misunderstanding. Though one of my former collaborators, Stephen Berry, he was fired from Officeworks because one of his Mr. Berry reports, one of his co-workers found it misogynistic. So he was fired for something he posted outside of work. So
it depends on what it is and who it is, obviously.
We haven't got time to get into the whole ethical issue of refusal of service because
it's to laminate or not to laminate.
Well, it's going to go to VCAT now, our civil and administrative tribunal.
Oh, God. Why can't these people just work out their problems simply? Face to face. Okay, in the very short amount of time we've got left, what's this uranium mining license refusal about? Is that some kind of spiteful move, or is that because someone philosophically thinks there should be no uranium mined anymore?
Well, it's Anthony Albanese. He announced before he travelled to the Garma Festival in Arnhem Land. It's a pilgrimage for Labor politicians and also for our national broadcaster as well, the ABC. So he said that a uranium mining lease at Jabiluka will not be extended and will form part of the Kakadu National Park. I think it's also to sabotage Peter Dutton's nuclear policy. Peter Dutton is ahead in the polls despite the nuclear scare campaign. Though at least in Kakadu National Park, all Australians can enjoy it, unlike Mount Warning in New South Wales, the New South Wales National Parks body has decided that only male members of the so-called Bundjalu Nation are allowed to climb it because it's culturally significant. So misogyny is okay if it's indigenous. So
right.
A hiker, Mark Hendricks, he was fined by a ranger. They're spending all this money on security to keep people out, which, again, it's just a spiteful thing that Aboriginal cultural heritage declarations are, that they target white Australians, you can't enjoy our great outdoors. So John Ruddock, the New South Wales Libertarian Party MLC, he decided to climb it as well. There was a rally outside, but there is another Indigenous group, the Yukum Yukum and Narrabuglow Githabel people. They dispute the claim of this Bundjalung Nation male group.
Oh, so there's a bit of argy-bargy between them.
Yes, which has happened before at the smoking ceremony opening of a Perth freeway. There was a dispute about who had the authority to do the smoking ceremony to open this new freeway.
Wow, so much going on. Tim Wilms, thank you for dropping in again and updating us on what's happening in Australia. Boy, who would be an AFL chief executive or administrator, high up administrator, anything to do with it these days? Who would even bother?
I know. And the players, they also go through all of this sensitivity training as well. But the thing is, despite all of the wokeness in sport, it's a religion for a lot of us. So we're still cheering on the green and gold over in Paris. And, well, yep. I'm cheering for the Brisbane Lions to win the premiership this year after last year's grand final heartbreak.
Heartbreak. Oh, where's my violin?
So, yes, we still are consumers of the game, but, of course, we don't like all the wokeness and the welcome to countries and all that.
Yep. I hear you. Thanks, Tim. We'll talk again in a week.
Thank you, Paul.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.